everyone, and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode number 98. We are two episodes away from episode 100. And we actually do have something planned this time.
This time? You mean the first time?
What happened?
I forget.
I wasn't even here last week. You guys did the podcast without me.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. There you go.
Mazer did not have any remorse about that.
I don't really have empathy. It was removed from me as a child. I'm growing it back slowly, but
it's okay. I was on the road driving through a snowstorm, so there's no way I could have made it anyway.
Yeah.
It's all good. At least I'm alive.
It would have been interesting sounding.
What?
You just would have
driving through a snowstorm,
because you would have just been so out of it, because you would have been driving, and then we would just hear some static and just go, "Whoa, what was that?" And then,
and then nothing.
Then a lot of nothing, and then we'd just go, "Venkman, are you there?" And we'd have to call him back. I don't know.
Anyway, I'm your host, Dr. Venkman. And we have with us today on our panel to talk about all things movie geek stuff-wise, Mazer.
I've already been talking, so.
Yeah, you have been talking. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good.
Yeah?
We had guest appearances by Ben P. and P. Vader. It was great.
Thank you for having
us, awesome.
Sir.
Yeah.
And Ben P. is with us.
Hey, Dr. Venkman, what's happening?
Not much, you know. Just chillaxing.
Yeah, we got a lot of movies to talk about this week.
We do. We got a lot of movies. Got a lot of news. I don't think we're going to get to it all, but, you know, we do our best. So we'll just roll with it. P. Vader.
What's up, bro?
Not much, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good, man. I'm hoping I'm going to stump you guys with a Connect Four this evening.
Good.
It's Connect 3. We don't want to get sued here.
What
Connect 3?
I have 4 Connect 3s. I'm sorry.
Okay, there we go.
And Tiberius is joining us again.
Yes, I'm holding it down for the East Coast.
Nice. Thank you very much. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was well, thank you. Family came up from Florida. So, nice.
Florida represent. Nice.
Yep.
Awesome. So everybody had a good Thanksgiving. It's good to hear. Did all of you guys go see movies?
I didn't, actually. I didn't see anything.
I didn't see anything new. I saw the same movie I'd already seen. Second time.
All right.
I did that too. Saw a movie I haven't seen yet, or I don't know what I'm saying. I saw a movie.
You saw a movie that you reviewed on the podcast.
Previous. Yeah. And then I saw something I haven't seen yet, which we will talk about. So we're going to move on to the box office numbers for Thanksgiving weekend. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 took in $49 million, coming at number one in its second week in a row. So congratulations to Warner Brothers for being a winner with the Harry Potter franchise. Tangled came in at number two at $48.7 million. So it wasn't too far behind Harry Potter. And, you know, that's the Tangled family film. What do you do on Thanksgiving with your family? You go see a Disney animated movie.
There you go.
Which is what most everybody did. So, including myself. We'll talk about that later. Number three, Megamind at $12.5 million. Number four, Burlesque in its first week brought in $11.9 million. Number five, Unstoppable made $11.4 million. And then just real quick, six and seven in their first week, Love and Other Drugs at 9.7, and number seven, Faster at $8.5 million. So that rounds out your top seven. Yeah. I'm actually surprised that Unstoppable beat loving other drugs and faster. I don't know why that surprises me, but it just does. Well, because Unstoppable's been out for 3 weeks now.
Yeah, and it was funny. We were talking at Thanksgiving with Mazer's family and kind of extended family, and you know, I would consider them a slice of life of normal America, you know, just like a normal movie-going audience, and they were all talking about how great Unstoppable was. They all went out to see it and stuff. So,
oh yeah,
You know, if that is an accurate microcosm of the rest of society, then yeah, that kind of explains why people, you know, people love Denzel Washington. So
sure,
yeah.
Personally,
my family was the same way, actually, so I can definitely attest to that, Ben.
Nice.
Now, I know Ben saw Faster.
I did.
And did you see Love and Other Drugs as well?
I did.
Okay, I haven't seen that yet. I really don't have a desire to see it. I don't know. I heard it was like 85% of Anne Hathaway nude.
I don't know about that. We'll talk about it when we get
We'll talk about it. Either way, I don't really feel like seeing her nude. I don't know. I'm just saying.
All right.
Okay. Anyway. We're moving on to... Oh, wait. We got Connect 3.
Connect 3 is in the house. I've got a...
Dave Vader's got Connect 3.
Yeah.
So we're gonna...
I've got a few if you guys are ready.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
All right. The first one, we'll start off with an easy one. We got Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, Wesley Snipes.
Daybreakers?
Incorrect.
Vampire movies.
No.
Vincent D'Onofrio, man. Blade.
Nope.
Murder at 1600.
Also incorrect.
is it an actress?
It is not.
The Art of War.
That is incorrect. Do you guys need a hint?
Yes.
It's
Brooklyn's Finest.
It's just the movie.
Brooklyn's Finest.
There you go.
Oh, there it is.
I thought you said that, Tiberius, but...
yep, yep.
There you go.
I even like Brooklyn's Finest.
I did, too.
A lot of people didn't like it, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought that would be an easy one, but apparently it was not.
I just didn't see it, so...
All righty.
Well, then it's not an easy one for you.
There you go. Okay, so we got Ed O'Neill... Shaquille O'Neal and Nick Nolte.
Kazam.
Wow. Motley Crue.
Jeez. No, incorrect.
Steel?
Nope.
Ed O'Neal?
Yes, sir.
Married with Children?
Yep.
Good grief. Dutch?
Wait, what was it? Ed O'Neill, Shaquille O'Neal, and
Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte.
I will say the key lies in Nick Nolte.
Okay, Blue Chips.
There you go, Tiberius.
Wow.
Locking it down.
Two for two.
Yep.
All right. Third one, we've got Bonnie Hunt, Tom Hanks, Patton Oswalt.
Is it a movie?
This is not a movie, a single movie. This is a
franchise.
A characteristic type movie. It's a certain movie type.
Wow. Like a genre?
Not a genre. But I'm not going to keep going with it.
Okay. I'm really baffled by that explanation.
Okay, I will say that one of these kind of movies came out this summer.
A trilogy.
No.
Bonnie Hunt.
Bonnie Hunt.
Tom Hanks.
Patton Oswalt. One of these movies came out this summer with one of these people in it.
Oh, I see.
Toy Story?
Yeah, an animated is something.
You're on the right track.
CG animated film?
Yeah, an animated trilogy. A third in an animated.
No, it's not anywhere near that.
Okay.
Major was close with Toy Story.
Oh, a 3D film?
Pixar film.
Pixar. There okay. you go.
There we go.
So Tom Hanks, Story 3, Patton Oswalt, Ratatouille, and Bonnie Hunt was in Cars.
Okay. Picked a whole studio.
Wow.
And we still didn't get it.
Wow.
Okay, last one. We got John C. Reilly, Michael Jackson.
Walk Hard.
No. And Ray Liotta.
This is it.
Incorrect.
So John C. Reilly.
No, you misunderstood. Venkman was just really fed up with this entire thing.
Okay. John C. Reilly, Ray Liotta, and who?
Michael Jackson.
The Michael Jackson?
Thriller himself.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Close.
Oh, wow. Yes, I see what you're doing there. Freaking Captain EO.
Yep,
George Lucas?
Nope, but you guys are kind of in the right track.
Steven Spielberg?
Martin Scorsese?
Martin Scorsese.
Yes.
Ray Liotta. John C. Reilly was an Aviator. And Martin Scorsese actually directed Michael Jackson's music video, Bad.
Oh, wow.
I did not know that.
There you go.
Clutch.
There you go.
I decided to make them a little bit harder this week, seeing how we've kind of been blowing them out of the water recently. So.
Yeah, we do. It does take, like, about 5 seconds.
I feel like that game is either you're one extreme or the other. It's like there's, like, a 5-minute pause between our answers or we know it instantaneously. But.
Yeah.
But yeah, good stuff this week.
Nice. All right. So that was Connect 3.
Not to be now, confused with a board game of the similar name.
Connect 4. All right. A few of us saw some movies this weekend. A few of us didn't. But we do have some movies that we want to talk about. Ben went and saw Faster.
What do we got?
We got our shooter. It's not just fear, that's recognition. He knew him. Turns out some gang ambushed them and killed his brother.
Smile for the camera.
It took me 10 whole years to track down these people for you.
I'm gonna kill them all.
Smile for the camera.
I still hurt
me. I'm not gonna hurt you.
There's been another shooting.
I got a hunch it might be our guy.
They've all got records, armed robbery, rape, assault. What? Now it seems like he's going after everyone on his list.
I've been expecting you.
Witness placed the second shooter at the scene. Said they had a little shootout in the hall.
Do you think you're done? There's one more.
I did. Anybody else see this? No?
No. Right?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
Good review, though.
Thank you, sir. I would, if you've read the review, with. Then you'll know that my recommendation is to stay as far away from Faster as humanly possible.
I figured that's what it was going to be like.
I absolutely despised it, and I said that it makes Unstoppable look like a master class in the action genre. It is dreadfully terrible. Each one of the characters is only addressed by names like Driver, Cop, and Killer. They aren't even given real names.
Was that an artistic choice?
I think so, but it's very little art flowed from this movie, so it's hard to really tell. I don't know, man. This one, it was just so terrible, like on every level. You know, it was like stylistically. Okay, first of all. You know what kind of movie you're getting into when you see something like Faster. You know, you see the trailers, you see the big action comeback of Dwayne Johnson, who I'm a big fan of, coincidentally. And I like him in action movies, so I was fairly excited about this.
That's what I was. I was excited to see the movie, too, because I was like, Dwayne Johnson, finally he's getting back his some dark, gritty, action-packed movie stuff where he's going to be a badass and beat up some people.
Right. And he does that, but it's just, the movie is just lifeless. There's no, you don't care about anything. It's not even cool to look at. Like, the Transporter movies, I feel like, at least, you know, they have kind of similar stock plots. But at least there's some style to it and some flair to it where you're like, oh, wow, that was badass. Like, even if you just watch it on mute or something, you can at least get some visual enjoyment out of the movie. And this was just, everything was, like, cribbed from other movies and not, there was nothing new added at all. No, I take that back. There was one new thing that I took note of that was actually pretty cool. And it was one shot that was like a POV shot from behind the point of view of the speedometer in a car, like looking out at quote unquote driver as he's driving. So you could see the needle, like, you know, moving forward, moving up with the numbers backwards. And that was kind of cool. That was the one, like, new thing that they added. And if that's that tiny thing is the one thing that I'm talking about, you can tell how terrible the rest of this movie was.
So was Dwayne Johnson's character named Faster?
No, he was actually Driver.
He was Driver?
Yeah.
Was there anybody named Faster?
There was no one named Faster, although I wouldn't be surprised if there was in a movie like this, you know? It was there was like a, you know, the killer was like the typical kind of hunting down the scenario thing, and he was just, it was a first time actor, and like, I'm not an actor. I feel bad saying people, you know, do bad work, but this guy was awful. And like, the script is just beyond terrible. I have no idea how this script got through like production stages and like the whole thing and how people attach themselves to it. You know, you see all these interviews with Billy Bob Thornton and Dwayne Johnson and everybody talking about how it's like a great kind of throwback to these 70s movies and stuff. And like, in theory, that's what it is, but in actuality, it's not at all. It's just this dead in the water, lame duck, just like sitting there, blech. Like,
So you're saying the man who picked Doom as a film has bad taste in his scripts?
No, wasn't it the guy that picked Tooth Fairy?
Yeah, I'd say the guy that picked Tooth Fairy stands out further than the craptastic Doom, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame because, you know, Dwayne Johnson should be making like really cool and fun action movies.
Yeah.
And not kid movies and bad, terrible action films.
Guess what? All those roles are going to Carl Umbry, right? So
who?
Carl Urban.
Oh.
Ah, Carl Urban.
Umbry. Carl Umbry.
Like, is that Ethan Embry's older brother? What is
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, all the roles are going to Carl.
That's true.
Carl Urban. I think I asked you, Ben, and I forgot your answer, but you can tell us again. If I asked you whether or not this is the worst movie of 2010 so far. I forgot your answer, but
Man, yeah, and I don't remember what my answer was. I had to go back and forth between this and From Paris with Love. Okay. And then I think I decided that Faster was the worst wide release movie that I've seen in 2010.
Oh.
Because at least From Paris with Love had the kind of like train wreck aspect of watching John Travolta as this insane yes. character, and like, while as terrible as that movie was, it did have that as kind of a saving grace.
Yeah.
And even though that was really bad, at least it was something. This was just bad and there was nothing to latch on to.
That's a shame. That yeah. is a shame.
Yeah.
And you also saw The King's Speech.
My husband is, well, he's required to speak publicly.
I have received
Perhaps he should change jobs.
And what if my husband were the king? My husband has seen everyone.
Insert them into your mouth. Enunciate.
He hasn't seen me. I can cure your husband, but I need total trust. What was your earliest memory?
I'm not here to discuss personal matters.
Well, why are you here, then?
Because I bloody well stammer!
But do you know any jokes?
Timing isn't my strong suit.
I did, yeah. This one I saw yesterday morning. Go ahead.
This is a movie I've I really want to see. I've heard great things about it.
It's interesting. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be, because I'm definitely not a big fan of historical biopics or British movie, you know, movies that deal with British royalty and stuff. Like, that is not my wheelhouse when it comes to watching movies, you know what I mean? But this one was actually pretty good. It was Colin Firth and Jeffrey Rush are in it, and Helena Bonham Carter, and those are like the real kind of big three. And it's been getting a lot of Oscar buzz because of Colin Firth's performance. He plays Prince Albert, who is the Duke of York, who eventually becomes King George VI, and this is set in the 1920s. So it's not really that big of a period piece. It's not that much further removed from, you know, it's not like Elizabeth the Golden Age or something,
where
sailing around in the ocean with Clive Owen or whatever. But it's
a little Clive Owen is so old.
touche. I really enjoyed this movie. It's about Colin Firth plays that character, and he has a stutter, like a really, really bad stammer. So he enlists the help of Jeffrey Rush's character, who's this kind of unorthodox speech therapist who coaches him how to correctly speak in public, basically. And it's pretty good. For a movie like this, you know,
the topic sounds like it would make for a horrible film.
It does.
In all actuality, it seems to go the other way from what I've read too.
Yeah,
what you're telling.
It's a movie that you read the synopsis or just hear me say that, and you're like, really? It's a movie about a guy talking, and it doesn't sound cinematic, and it's not really that cinematic, but there's just something about the story that makes it interesting, and then the performances from everyone are really, really good. So much so where it kind of just draws you in, and Colin Firth and Jeffrey Rush have this really great relationship of this kind of, you know, obviously Colin Firth is royalty, and Jeffrey Rush is this kind of commoner peasant guy who just randomly happens to help people speak correctly. So there's this element of you know, the upper class meeting with the lower or the middle class or whatever. And Jeffrey Rush, because he's effectively in charge of these sessions and stuff, demands that there be an equality between these two characters, which obviously kind of rubs Colin Firth the wrong way, since he's a king at one point when he's taking these lessons. But there's this really interesting friendship that develops between these two characters, and they're just a lot of fun to watch. There's a lot of humor in this movie, more than I was expecting. I was expecting this kind of stuffy British, you know, very, very serious movie, and it's not that at all. There are some aspects of that, but those aspects, I think, just serve to heighten the importance of public speaking when you're in that kind of political situation, where it really is like a big deal. It's the same type of stuff that, you know, we learn about in school, about how the difference between Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy, like when TV came out, you know, like, or when they started doing TV broadcasts of political debates and stuff, you know, because and like audio and all that, you know, there's a lot of this movie has a lot to say about the digital communication in the digital age, basically.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think in the very end of my review, I recommended it to, you know, people who want to stay in the know in the Oscar season, and then for people who like well-acted, feel-good dramas, because that's what this is.
Awesome.
I'm continually impressed by Colin. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm just continually impressed by Colin Firth and the roles that he does. He really brings a lot of weight to each role that he chooses, it seems like. And on top of that, I really think that each scene that he's in really does just pull you away and really attracts you into what's going on in the scene. And he really, really steals the scene in a lot of situations.
Yeah,
even from Jeffrey Rush, I'm sure.
I did not see what was that movie that he was in last year? A Single Man, right? Is that the one?
Yeah.
I saw that on DVD, and actually was just it was stylistically and visually that was a beautiful film, a well shot film. Cool. And you know, very touching in a lot of ways, but it definitely you know, bodes well for him, and I definitely would like to see him get nominated.
Yeah, I think a nomination is pretty much a lock at this point, and a lot of people are talking about a win. I kind of hope he doesn't win. As much as I enjoyed his performance here, I really just on a personal level, want to see the Oscar for Best Actor either go to Ryan Reynolds for Buried or James Franco for 127 Hours. But that's just me.
And we'll talk about that.
When? Now? Later?
We'll,
3 years when we, from now?
Yeah, 3 years from now, we will discuss. We'll discuss that. No, we'll talk about it in the because I want to talk about it because of James Franco hosting the Oscars.
Yes.
You know, and we'll discuss if will that kind of knock him out of the running for any Best Actor nomination type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we'll get into that. And let's see, Love and Other Drugs.
Hey, Lisa.
Her name's not Lisa.
I know, but if every time I say, hey, Lisa, she'll think that I dated a girl who looked just like her, she'll develop this unconscious need to win my approval, and from then on, it's cake.
Damn. Why would you want to be a pharmaceutical rep?
That pays over 100 grand a year, that's why.
Hello, ladies. Hello, gorgeous. Oh, wait. Yep, there's another one.
If the patient asks, you're an intern.
Hi.
I'm Dr. Knight.
And who are you?
Jamie Randall, intern.
Well, let's have a look.
You're a dumb rep! You let me take my shirt off!
Wait! Okay, I apologize. Let me take you out for a cup of coffee.
Strong eye contact, implied intimacy. You're good.
So what does this mean?
Actually, this is me being nice.
You have beautiful eyes.
That's it? That's the best you got?
This is another film you saw.
Am I the only person that saw this?
I was planning to watch this, but have not yet.
Okay, well...
Yeah, I would want to see it too.
You were on a roll.
Well, I'll try to keep this short then, just because I know you guys probably as great as it is to hear my voice. But okay, so Love and Other Drugs, you know, you see the trailers and you're like, okay, this is going to be this kind of cutesy romantic comedy. And it was a little bit better than a normal romantic comedy, I would say. It standard romantic comedies these days are what I box into, like, the Katherine Heigl genre, you know, the stuff that's just, like, terribly written. You can see what's happening. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, vomit, exactly.
You can see what's going to happen from a mile away. Like, everything is totally canned. There's no, it's basically just a straight formula and that's it. And there's really no, it's just rotating actors playing the same parts that have different professions.
Basically. That's exactly what I saw in the trailer for this film, though, because I feel like in watching the trailer, I already knew everything that was going to happen in the movie.
I think you do, but the way that it happens is a little bit more interesting than some of its contemporaries. So okay. I would say that, you know, if you're a person who doesn't necessarily care for, basically, there's more drama than romantic comedy going on here.
I thought so.
And there's more comedy than romantic comedy, if that makes any sense. Oliver Platt is in it. He plays a supporting role. And he and Jake Gyllenhaal have this kind of great banter. Jake Gyllenhaal, his character, has a brother who I forgot his name. Hang on one second. Let me see if I wrote it down here. Josh Gad. He's like this overweight, sex-obsessed brother of Jake Gyllenhaal's character, and they have a kind of a good rapport going back and forth. But there are a lot of kind of stock figures and stuff, but the chemistry between Anne Hathaway and Jake Gyllenhaal kind of overshadow everything to the point where it makes it okay. Like, there are these romantic comedy elements that go through it, but the performances by those two just kind of elevate the material above what you would think. You know what I mean?
Now there's kind of this buzz that Anne Hathaway gave an Oscar worthy performance in this. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. I think Golden Globe, maybe, sure. And she's great. I mean, she does really, really great work. I just don't.
Well,
think...
what are the strongest female performances that you guys have seen this year?
Hands down, Natalie Portman has to win for Black Swan. Yep. Best performance I've seen from a female actress in the last maybe 3 years.
It
blew me away.
I'm sure it did. I really think a strong contender is Noomi Rapace. Am I pronouncing that right?
I think so.
I think so. She is just amazing, and she truly embodies Lisbeth Salander and that character. And it just – I don't know if all you guys have seen those films yet.
I've watched the first two.
Okay.
The Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not seen the Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest yet, even though it's playing by me. But it just, I don't know. She just really, and they're doing a big Oscar push for her right now. Mm-hmm. So I really,
she is really good though. She definitely is a great actress. And it'll be interesting. She's getting a lot of roles now, so it'll be interesting to see where she goes from here.
Yeah, there's I think Tropic Thunder kind of tackled this subject matter pretty well with like the whole going full retard thing, and yeah. Anne Hathaway's character has Parkinson's, so there is like an element of like you know, whatever, debilitating, like disability and stuff involved with her character, but she plays it very, very well. I think like she doesn't take that part of it over the top ever, which is really nice to see, where it doesn't feel like they're kind of picking on people with Parkinson's, you know.
Good, because that would be politically incorrect,
right? And sometimes movies like just push it too far with not even really realizing what they do, but you're sitting in the theater going like, oh wow, I think they just crossed a line and didn't know it, and this movie never even approached that. So I thought they handled that part of it really well, and aside from that, just dramatically and everything, Anne Hathaway's great. I mean, she's one of my favorite kind of young actresses. And I hope that she, you know, we're talking about her last week, potentially maybe being Lois Lane in Zack Snyder's Superman movie. So yeah. I hope that she kind of gets into a more mainstream role like that. But if not, then I think she's probably content with being the next Julia Roberts, because that's where I see her going, her career going over the next few years.
Oh, that's a shame.
I wouldn't want to be considered the next Julia Roberts.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Her career's going downhill.
Well. Yeah. Julia Roberts in her prime, this is where Anne Hathaway is going, is what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
That'd be like saying being the next Elizabeth Taylor or something like that. It almost has a bad connotation, but yeah, you got to talk about someone in their prime.
Yeah.
All right.
One other thing. Jake Gyllenhaal, I normally find a kind of insufferable douche, and I liked him a lot in this movie, so... For those of you who are refusing to see it just because Jake Gyllenhaal is in it, I would say give it a shot.
Well, I've always thought Jake Gyllenhaal was a decent actor. Just, you know, chooses some pretty bad movies like Prince of Persia.
Right.
And
The Day After Tomorrow.
The Day After Tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I kind of like him as an actor, too, but just, like, a lot of the characters I think he plays are this kind of smarmy douche, and it's funny because he actually plays one of those characters here, but for some reason I found him to be a lot more likable than usual, so I can't explain that at all, and I'm not even going to pretend to.
Well, we'll just accept your opinion.
Sounds good.
I saw Tangled this weekend. I took my kids to go see it. Did anybody else see Tangled? Am I the only one?
No, I saw it, Bankman.
You coming, Blondie? Woo-hoo!
Best day ever!
Let down your...
Oh, are you serious?
I did. I managed to get into a screening of it, so.
Nice. How what'd you think? Did you like it?
I will say that I liked it.
I won't say that I liked it either, but go ahead.
Wait. No, he said that he
will. I will say that I liked it.
Oh, dang. Oops. All right, go ahead.
let me qualify that statement. I like it as a kid's movie, I think.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't have...
It is a kid's movie, after all.
Yeah, so, you know, it's hard for me to kind of... I don't know, it's hard for me to be, like, critical of it when it's... Like, clearly I'm not the audience that they're aiming for with this movie.
Clearly.
So, yeah, in that sense, you know, it doesn't have maybe the wide appeal of like a Pixar, but you know, I thought it did its job well in appealing to kids. Like, I don't know, Venkman, if you took your kids to see it, but I would have thought that they would have liked it.
They did. They absolutely, the kids absolutely loved it. Okay. And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, it was made for the kids.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't know, I thought the songs were absolutely terrible in that movie.
Yeah, I was...
You know, the movie should have been either done without songs or songs that didn't sound like they were written in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, the two problems... I noticed two things about the songs. The one where they're in, like, the boat at the end with the light... Well, that sounded a lot like A Whole New World to me.
I know, right? And I was then, like, what are you doing?
The other one, I think it's called I've Got a Dream. I mean, immediately when I think of that, I think of Martin Luther King giving a speech. I think of, like, you know, goons and villains entangled singing I have a dream, so...
And it's not a dream of, like, equality. It's a dream of, like, I want to be a piano player.
Yeah.
Or I have a dream to be with a beautiful woman.
Yeah, it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
How is the voice acting from Mandy Moore and Zach Levi?
That's fine. They did a fine job. I mean, it's voice acting. Yeah. I couldn't even tell that it was Mandy Moore or Zachary Levi. It was just, it could have been any two people. I wouldn't have cared. And I don't think the kids care either. So,
well, to me, that kind of, I think that, I feel like the point there is that they casted fairly well. If they didn't stand out like, oh, this person's bad, you know?
Yeah. Well,
I think that's kind of a dismissive look at an entire profession, Venkman, of just blowing off voice actors.
But. No. Here's the thing. I think. Like, what Disney used to do is Disney used to get these – Disney didn't used to hire, like, well-known actors and actresses to voice the characters in the film. They went out and found these new actual voice actors. That was their profession. There's a lot of people out there that have a profession of just doing voice acting, and now they're going after these big-time actors where they have to pay them, you know, a lot more money and all this stuff. And it's just – it doesn't – really matter because
I mean, it's more than just Disney though. Like, if you look,
no, I know it, you know, DreamWorks does the same thing. Everyone now, they all go for the big name actors to do voiceover work. I'm just saying, give the voiceover actors out there the voiceover work and let the actors do their live action gigs. That's all I'm saying.
So, Tom Hanks, go home. Is that
kids,
what you're saying?
Yes, Tom Hanks can go home. He did Toy Story fine. That's cool, you know? It's all good. I have no problem with it, but it could have been anyone and I wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm exactly the same way with you on that, Venkman. I haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon. I haven't seen that. But from the trailers, I had no idea who was in that. And they even said in the trailer, I had no idea who the voices were. So I could really care less. I'm going to see a movie not because of that as much. And I just – if it's an animated film. So,
yeah. So I don't know. And Tangled is – Tangled, I also think that the whole doing it in CGI 3D was – again, pointless. The CGI was not that impressive to me. It felt very plasticky. It felt like Toy Story, but Toy Story were actual toys, you know. But it was, you know, they tried the CGI or make the CGI classic Disney 2D animation artistic style blended together. I didn't really buy it. I think the movie would have been a lot better. There would have been more life put into it had they made the film in just regular traditional animation 2D.
Like Princess and the Frog?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
this film feels like a huge reaction to that. Instead of doing it 2D, which they may have done, they did it 3D. And then instead of naming it like Rapunzel, they named it Tangled because – boys didn't want to see a movie called Rapunzel.
Rapunzel's just such an ugly name. Such an ugly name.
I mean, I think, and it's the.
But when they're looking for like brand recognition, like, you know, Battleship, Rapunzel seems like a pretty established name.
Yeah, I will say though, the girl is, you know, treated fairly. She's clearly like the heroine in the movie, I think. I don't know whatever that criteria is to judge a female character that I always hear about on these damn podcasts, but I can't tell you if she fits those or not, but I felt that she was a strong enough role model for.
No, she was a very strong character in the film. So, yeah.
I looked it up earlier today, just Google female character flowchart.
Okay.
And I liked the movie. It was fine. It was fine. The kids loved it. And like I said, that's all that matters. If you have kids, they're gonna like the movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's it. You know, it doesn't matter if the adults can enjoy it as well. Just they won't enjoy it as much as the kids will.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I think
this is not. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I think you guys are right to just throw that disclaimer out there, saying that it is a kids movie and not trying to be anything more than that. I feel like it's more of the exception to the rule when a movie like How to Train Your Dragon comes along that does appeal to more than just that child audience or a Pixar movie, which Pixar over the past few years has kind of gained that reputation where every movie of theirs is going to be kind of reaching more expanded audience. Yeah. But How to Train Your Dragon, I feel like, was definitely an exception to that. And Tiberius, man, you got to rectify that situation. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies.
Really? Yeah, okay. I liked it more than Toy Story 3.
Well, this sounds bad. I haven't seen Toy Story 2 or Toy Story 3.
Oh, so that does sound bad.
Please don't kick me off the podcast now. I will rectify those. It's just a matter of
it's
you know, Jean, I hate to say it. I'm going to be shunned here, but to be honest with you, I really am much more of a live action person through and through. And
yeah,
it's just me. It's just how it's my makeup. And, you know, I need to change that. I need to be, you know, guided down the correct path, but you know, be patient.
Start the path with How to Train Your Dragon and then follow it up with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, because those are my two.
I've already seen that. Okay. Did see that.
All right,
that is I like that. That was good.
Yeah. Real quick, just so not all of the blame and burden is on you, I still have not seen Toy Story 3 yet either, so
thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about its Oscar chances? I mean, do you think that that's kind of – I think it's a little bit crazy, everything that's been going on, but I don't know.
Well,
yeah, I don't know. I'm not on board with it. It'll probably win
just because it
animated feature film.
Only because it moved people emotionally.
Yeah, and it was the best reviewed film of the year.
Only that.
Yeah.
Well, like, who knows?
A lot of, yeah.
But like I said, I liked How to Train Your Dragon a lot, you know, more than I liked Toy Story 3.
I mean, if they have like 10 nominations like they did last year, who knows what we could see?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, to just let the audience know, you guys are a bit biased because you did grow up near dragons. So.
Yes, it's true. I grew up in a land of dragons. I was raised by a pack of dragons.
I find it really hard to believe. I know what you're talking about, Tiberius, that Toy Story 3 is making this big push for best picture, not just best animated picture. But I find
That's what I was getting at. That's what I was actually getting at more.
Yeah, I find it.
I can see it winning best animation. That's probably a given. But
sure. Yeah, I don't think that it'll win best picture. I mean, with movies like Inception out there, there's no way that.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Sure. Yeah.
No, it might get with 10 spots. It might get a nod, right?
Oh, it could get a nod, but I'm finding it hard to believe that it will even now.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, I mean, in case you guys didn't know, Winter's Bone just won a Gotham, actually two Gotham awards tonight. Well, even though this is for tomorrow, but on Monday night, it won two awards at the Gotham Awards. And usually that's a pretty good precursor to a definite consideration for a nomination for Oscar. So
yeah,
if you haven't seen that, that's great. That's a great film.
I saw Winter's Bone at Sundance, and it's carried on. It'll definitely be in my top 10 movies of the year.
Yep.
And I can definitely see that movie. It will definitely be nominated for an Oscar, and there's a strong possibility. I wouldn't be surprised if it actually won Best Picture.
I agree with you. I agree. And I think that Jennifer Lawrence could get nominated for
Best Actress. Yeah. She should be nominated, definitely.
Yep.
But I'm still rooting for Portman.
I agree with you.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Keep talking. No.
While we're on the Oscars, it was recently announced that Anne Hathaway and James Franco are going to be hosting the what is it, 83rd annual Academy Awards?
I believe so. I don't know the number offhand.
Yeah, I think it is the 83rd. I'm sticking with it.
All right.
So it's kind of a different direction from what we've seen over the years. They are going for two younger actors to take on the hosting roles that have usually been played by older comedians. I grew up on Billy Crystal and Steve Martin. Love watching those guys do their thing. No one will ever beat what Billy Crystal did for the Oscars in my mind, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
I love what Billy Crystal did for the Oscars, and it saddens me that they just kind of stopped using him. But they're now going for the younger, more savvy audience. My only hope – I mean, they're doing this to – one, to boost ratings, obviously, to get a younger generation of people watching the Oscars, because the ratings haven't been doing so well over the last few years. So I don't know. I hope that they don't end up turning the Oscars into this MTV generation award show. That's my biggest fear, is that they're going to just try and make this into a hip.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, just as much as Billy Crystal was a stand-up comedian, James Franco was funny. He's on Saturday Night Live. He's done Funny or Die skits and stuff. The guy is really funny.
He is funny.
I know the guy's funny, and I think they'll do fine as hosts. It just wasn't what I was expecting, and it's not up to them really what happens at the Oscars. I don't know what the directors and the writers all have planned for them.
Oh, there's going to be a whole team of writers.
Exactly. But the thing is, are they going to be funny, or are they just going to be like straight, here are the awards, we're going to be very serious, or is it going to be like mixed in comedy? Are they going to do a song and dance at the beginning? Like,
I'm sure they do all that.
Yeah.
Well, if they have Anne Hathaway, she can do the singing part, so...
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Sure. It should be interesting to see what they have planned for these two. I don't have any problems with them hosting at all. They're both great actors, and if they do represent a more, I guess, mature and established younger generation of actors that are coming up in Hollywood. I mean, these people are going to have better roles as time goes on and stuff. So.
Yeah, I think like the Oscars are the Oscars regardless. It's going to be the same type of format really regardless of who is hosting it. So it'll just be the kind of little things here and there with maybe the opening number and stuff that kind of separates it from years past. Otherwise, I think it's just kind of business as usual for the Oscars. They are clearly trying to skew younger and get that audience. But I don't think there's going to be any real issue, and I don't even think that we're going to remember it a couple years from now. I just think it's going to be like another normal run-of-the-mill Oscar.
That's exactly what I'm expecting.
Well, they know that if no one's watching, the Oscars are not relevant. So they're worrying about trying to establish a future audience.
Yeah, right? And then there was one thing that Venkman alluded to earlier, which is James Franco as a host – with the possibility of him getting nominated for Best Actor for 127 Hours, what does that mean for his chances? What do you guys think about that?
I was looking this up online today, and I couldn't find anything where a host actually has ever won an Oscar or even been nominated.
Yeah, so, it does seem very unlikely, but I don't know.
So I'm wondering if this is like the Academy's way of saying, look, you did a great job this year. We're not going to nominate you, so we're just going to give you these hosting duties. I don't know if it's like gonna, like more of a slap in the face,
but
or
I don't think the voting,
a consolation prize. I don't know.
I don't think the voting has even really started yet, though. I don't even think the Academy could make that decision at this point.
Plus the voting happens before he hosts, so.
So it should be interesting to see what happens, because as far as I know, it's nothing like that's happened before. So, you know, is Franco going to present himself with the Best Actor award if he wins?
Yeah, see, if that happens, then it will definitely be one that we remember a few
years later. It would have to be that he had won the previous year, right?
No. It's this. Like, he will be nominated. If he gets nominated, it'll be for 127 hours, and he could... Yep. He very well could present himself with the Best Actor.
Don't they usually have, like, say, like the previous year's Best Actor or?
Oh, I see what you're saying. To actually hand it off. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. They'll have like, and especially with, I think they did it last year when they had 10 people. They had like the 10 previous or something. You know, like a big group of people. Yeah, come
they
out.
Connect three with the Oscars.
I just love what was it? It was
somebody.
Colin Farrell had
Colin Farrell for SWAT.
Yeah.
It was. I think what it was previous Oscar nominees, and they were presenting to the current nominees.
Yeah, and that just happened to be the only connection between.
Well. We had a couple deaths recently in the entertainment world. Leslie Nielsen had passed away. Funny dude. Can always watch the Naked Gun movies and get a laugh. And Irvin Kershner passed away this morning as well, which was sad to hear. Irvin Kershner he's best known for directing Empire Strikes Back. And I don't know, I was thinking about it and I kind of was looking at his resume, and he really didn't do a lot of good movies after Empire Strikes Back. It seemed like he should have had more offers out to him after he did that movie, but he ended up making movies like RoboCop 2 and ended his career on directing was it Star Quest movies or TV, like a TV series? Sequest movies. Yeah, the Sequest TV series.
You know what, though? If you directed Empire Strikes Back, you get a lifetime pass.
Get a lifetime pass. No. I agree. I totally agree. He does get a lifetime pass on that because he did direct one of the most iconic films ever.
Yeah.
So...
I just keep checking Twitter, just waiting to see who the third person's going to be.
I think it's happening in threes. That's right.
You shouldn't even think that way.
Yeah.
I know.
It's true, though.
It's a real pattern.
It is not true. People just impose it on the world. Like, yep, this is how it happens.
I think there's probably like a serial killer out there who, when two people die, he takes it upon himself to kill us the third celebrity just to keep the trend alive.
Now there's a movie idea right there.
Yes.
This summer, Trinity in theaters near you.
Dwayne Johnson's all over that.
That's like a whole different kind of Connect 3.
Connect 3 popping up left and right this week.
Hi-yo!
Well, speaking of Connect 3, how about moving into 3D? Ayo.
Ooh, nice transition there.
I know. It was terrible. Venkman, you want to lead the charge on this?
It's official. The Hobbit is going to be in 3D. There's always been this in and out. Yes, it's going to be shot in 3D. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is.
Say it again.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Yes, it is.
Yes, The Hobbit is going to shoot in 3D, and they will be using, Peter Jackson will be using the new Red Epic camera that has yet to be released.
Nice.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Red cameras, but they are probably the most popular digital cameras being used right now to film.
And the Epic is taking it to an insane level.
Yeah, I think Mazer, were you telling us like that a little while ago? You're showing us how like big Red Epic like film was in comparison to the other films.
Yeah, well, the one they're gonna probably shoot with is the Red Epic, which is the 5K.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's but the one they're shooting with.
They have like an 11K.
Okay.
Which has like the most insane. It's huge. It's like two IMAXs.
Yeah.
Side by side.
That's pretty crazy.
That's how big it is. On top of that, you know, it used to be when you would shoot digitally, you would have less. You'd like, you know, you'd have to adjust and compensate. It's gotten to the point where just standard mode, it's got 12 stops, which means it has more dynamic range than film. And on top of that, they have the new HDRX, which is a full 18 stops, which means it's an even more, like, it has more dynamic range than film.
Yeah.
So you could do insane post-processing and all sorts of stuff with this. It's beyond film now. It's at a higher resolution with higher dynamic range. So, I mean, there's almost, unless you're looking for a very specific look, I'm not sure why you would want to shoot film.
Well, yeah, I think Jackson is making the right move in using these. I mean, Mazer and I have been talking about the Red cameras since before they even were like popular coming out. Something we've discussed for a long time. And Peter Jackson filmed a test film with the Red One. What was that called?
It was like a World War II thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a World War II movie. I can't.
He just did a little short, and it was interesting. I looked for that footage maybe 6 months ago, and it's amazing how much better the camera stuff that's coming out now looks than just that first test footage.
Yeah, yeah, and so Jackson's been a huge supporter of this from the beginning, and you know we've always been a big supporter of Red, and it's really interesting to see how much that this camera is like kind of taking over, you know, filmmaking. It a lot of independent filmmakers are using it, but now with Peter Jackson coming in and saying, look, I'm directing both Hobbit films with these cameras now, it's definitely going to take Red to the next level, and it will take filmmaking to the next level.
It's insane. If you love film and tech, that stuff like that, Google Steadicam Tango, and basically the reason the Steadicam system is able to exist is because of these digital things where you don't have this huge, you know, piece of film and these reels sitting on that camera, like just anchoring you down. You just have these basically little chips in a lens. And even with 3D, it's still so much lighter than a film camera that you're able to have these camera rigs that are able to do the most insane moves. I'm waiting for the director who takes advantage of like the Steadicam Tango and these other rigs that are coming out just because the cameras are so lightweight in an actual like full-on like Hong Kong-style action film. I've yet to see it, but like literally Google Steadicam Tango, and you'll see the camera moves they're able to do now just because of these lighter systems. And you'll go, wait, when is the film that's going to use this coming out? Because it's they're doing camera angles that would have been insanely complicated to do or would have had to be done in CG.
You know what you might scoff at, but is very possible as that the answer to that question of the movie that might use it is Ghost Rider 2. If they have the budget to be able to film with rigs like that, I feel like Neville Dean and Taylor, with as kind of innovative as they are camera-wise, might be the guys who take advantage of something like that. So I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm not really holding out a lot of hope for, what is it called, Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance or something like that. But
yes.
We'll see.
Nice.
That would be surprising, though, if they do film with that, because I heard that they were having budget pullbacks on that, cutbacks. I don't know, so.
All right, well, then there goes my theory out the window.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see, you know, The Hobbit and how this all turns out, so.
Yeah, I'm excited for The Hobbit.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. I'm very, very excited. Real quick, one other thing I wanted to discuss before we kind of closed everything off. Fox is an interesting studio. I get emails from the Fox legal team at least once a month telling me to pull something down off the site that I would put up there, you know?
That you find somewhere else?
That I find somewhere else and I put it up on the site. I'll get an email from the Fox legal team saying, you know, they're very, very – it's almost like these emails they read are just like completely rude when they're asking you to take – it's not – could you
I say post it.
It's not like, hey, could you please take this down? It's like, you take this down now. You are breaking the law. We are going to sue you if you don't type. These
what?
Are the letters – oh, yeah. And I'm like – okay.
Well, you know, at one point I thought that they were all bark and no bite, but
that's,
the news
that's exactly
item
what I thought.
That you're getting ready to bring up proves that they're actually serious about some of that.
I always, when I got one, I would always chuckle at myself, like, oh, here's another one, you know? Because I didn't take them seriously. And in all honesty, like, after I get one, I won't even read the email for, like, a day or two. And then, like, after a day or two, I'll take down the thing. You know, I don't do it right away. I eventually take it down, but I don't do it right then and there. But yeah, I think I'm going to start taking them down right away.
After that recent post today, I can understand why.
Fox Studios is slapping a $15 million lawsuit on this middle-aged mother. She's a flower salesman where she sells flowers over the phone part-time, and she's a aspiring screenwriter. And she started this whole thing where she collects scripts that have already been posted online, and then she creates a free online library of scripts to assist other screenwriters in perfecting their craft, stuff like that. Now – Fox has come out and said, look, you know, $15 million, we want $15 million from you for doing this. Here's what is the description of what happened from the Hollywood Reporter. It says, two strangers knocked on her door and informed her in front of her children. 20th Century Fox was suing her for $15 million. 2 hours later, after grilling her with questions for two solid hours, they left her sitting crying in her living room, staring at a business card that stated they were private investigators. This was the first contact that PJ had, or what's her name, Patricia McLavin. First contact that PJ had from 20th Century Fox regarding a media fire online. The Media Fire online script library she created, and was the 20th Century Fox filed a lawsuit against her in federal court for $15 million. They didn't even warn her. At least, you know, we get an email saying, hey, take this down or we're going to sue you. She didn't get any warning. She had two people come through knocking at her door saying, we're suing you for $15 million.
Okay.
Okay, now that I hear this, I feel like she's A, not smart for doing what she's doing, and then B, Fox is really, really dumb for basically trying to attack someone who's trying to basically use materials to instruct people.
Well, and here's the other thing, and it's not like that she's not smart, because here's the thing. There are other sites that are holding this script that are passing on. She got it from another site. She didn't ever leak the script. Fox isn't even going after anybody that the person that actually leaked the script online in the first place.
She only linked to it?
Yes. That's the thing. Yeah. So she is
– my God.
She's taking it from another online site.
Like, she'll get some backing from the EFF. And she'll get those lawyers to help her out. This sounds like a completely frivolous lawsuit, and it just, I mean, unless she's doing something else that we don't know about.
All right.
Go ahead. Ben,
okay. There's two things. One, I think Fox is being a bit ridiculous in the fact that they didn't warn her. If that's true, that they didn't warn her, that's a little much. But I will say that I feel very, very little sympathy for her, because you don't, regardless of whether you link to a script for Deadpool or not, you know, or you should know, if you're going to post it on your website, that should not be up there. You know what I mean? There are plenty, every single award season, every studio's website releases actual PDF files of the scripts that are available for nominated for Best Picture and all that. I'm sure Warner Brothers is going to do it for Inception, all that kind of stuff. I've got the Dark Knight script on my computer from 2008 when it was nominated for Best Picture. You know what I mean? There's a lot there's a lot of free ways where studios will be cool about that and actually just give you that content and make it available for download for everybody. And if she had taken those and then compiled that into a website and offered those up for people, then yeah, that's fine. But if she's taking them from these other places and not realizing what she's doing, that's her own fault. That's just being stupid. So I don't really necessarily feel a lot of sympathy for her. I don't know.
Especially something in development.
Yeah, and the movie's, you know, it hasn't even approached production yet. So yeah,
here's the other thing though. There's other sites out there that are that currently have the reprinted scripts online with their full reviews on there.
Yeah,
well, those sites are allowed. Fox has not contacted those sites. Those sites still have those up.
Well, are these
not asking them to take them down? So
if you want pirated material like scripts and like that, you want to set up a server in Spain. Number one, I'm not joking.
I believe you.
And you want to have it all privately registered to different corporations. Like, there's ways of doing these types of things if you want to go about doing that. But like, it seems ridiculous to have. I mean, I guess it's the Pirate Bay argument of, were just linking to content. But the thing is, they were also running a torrent server. She's got a web link that's basically the same thing you can do on Twitter, on Facebook, you know, in your email. It doesn't seem extremely, you know, quote, dangerous.
Yeah, I feel like we don't know the full extent of it.
There's something missing in this story, maybe.
Now here's
because the amount of $15 million, how do you get that amount?
Yeah, it's completely
arbitrary. This is in the actual complaint. These are in the court documents. So according to the court documents, this is what Fox is saying this is doing to Fox, and this is why they're suing her. The actions allegedly caused particular damage to films and TV shows that are still in development. The postings interfere and trade off the costly and carefully designed creative process that produced finished works ready for public consumption. They harm the fans who do not want their enjoyment of a movie or television show to be spoiled by knowing the story ahead of actually being able to watch it.
That's idiotic, because
that is why they're suing her.
How many scripts have you guys been forced to read?
Zero. I know, right? If I want a script, I go find it and I read it myself. No one's holding a gun to my head saying, hey, read the script and spoil
it. I'm pretty sure you could Google Deadpool script and find it.
Exactly.
And not just on her website.
Yep.
Yeah, Venkman, you bring up the point of other sites having it posted and, you know, Fox letting them do that. I think there's this kind of tattletale culture that's going on within the movie blog realm that, like, people are like, oh, they're getting away with it, blah, blah, blah. Like, you just have to step back from all that and realize what's ethical and what's not, and just, like, know that we're in the clear because we're not doing anything like that, and just like let karma
take
care of
it. And when Fox asks us to take something down, we take it down.
Yeah, like you know, it's really not that big of a deal in the long run, and it's certainly not worth a potential $15 million lawsuit. So for something that you can wait 6 months and post, and in the long run, that's really not going to do that much to the traffic of the site. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Now one other thing that we've been kind of talking about her posting this on her site. She never it seemed like she didn't post it on her site. It says they say that she, when people requested the script from her, she would email it to them.
Okay, that's a different story.
So she wasn't posting it on her site. She was emailing it to people that requested it.
Yeah, I don't really know how I feel about that. What do you think, Mazer? What do you think the difference is?
That's a huge missing piece. That's willfully distributing that material. That's like, they could say like perhaps she was receiving money for it. Perhaps, you know, there's all these sorts of things that they probably did in their investigation. Also, on top of it, I just remembered something. If you do a domain registration, you can get private registration. I've tried to acquire different domains. And it can basically be impossible to contact the person if they have a private registration. That may have been what happened with her. She might have a private registration for her domain, and they may have sent her something. But those addresses on your registered domain are literally like GoDaddy and other companies, where it's just like it goes into a huge bottomless pit where no one's ever going to read stuff that's sent to that address.
Yeah, gotcha. So, you know, to Fox's credit, they could have tried to send some sort of cease and desist thing, but yeah. Gotcha.
So anyway, there's that. don't mess with Fox because they're very, very serious. So if you ever get one of those things that say, please take that, or they don't say please, take that down now, you probably should just take it down. Other than that, this week – Black Swan is coming out in theaters. I saw this movie a couple weeks ago. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I loved it, and you should all see it when you get a chance. I know it's not a film for everybody, but it is just good, solid filmmaking, and the performances in it are amazing. And we'll get into that more after more of us see it. We'll probably talk about it next week. But yeah, definitely go out and watch Black Swan.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that's really coming out this week that's worth talking about. So that seems to be.
Hey, what about The Warrior's Way?
That looks like fun.
Is that coming out this week? Yeah, it comes out this week. Well, hell yeah.
That looks.
I'm gonna go see Warrior's Way. I think it looks good.
I don't recommend like dressing up like a samurai and bringing your own sword. I'm just saying.
I second that. That sounds like a bad idea.
Oh, really quick. I saw another movie this weekend. It was a rental. I watched it on Instant Netflix. Watch this movie if you haven't already. The Good, the Bad, the Weird.
Yes.
This movie was awesome. Have you seen it, Ben?
Yeah. Me and P. Vader got a chance to check it out. We got it from like the Time Warner On Demand or something like that because I had heard really good things about it. And it's basically just like a massive chase movie through like a Korean Western chase movie with just ridiculousness and action in like the entire way. It's pretty great.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. Would we call these the noodle Westerns or?
The rice noodle Westerns.
Yeah.
No, it was awesome. The cinematography in this film just was incredible. Some of these sequences and the way it was shot are just seamless, and it's just incredibly fun. I'm gonna watch it again, like right after I'm done with this podcast.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Definitely check it out, especially if it's on a Netflix Watch Instant.
Yeah,
it is.
Is there a terrible right now? Is there a terrible dub available of that film?
Probably on a DVD version. I don't know if Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd be able to do it on Netflix, but.
Well, I know Korean, so it was fairly simple for me to understand.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Well, okay, well, I can read. I read the subtitles in Korean. Okay. Anyway, we're just gonna conclude now.
Yeah, before this resorts to any more delirium.
I know. Go buy some stuff at geektyrant.me. We've got some t-shirts, some glasses. We've got other little knickknacks there. Check it out. Buy some stuff.
Grab a shirt. It's only $15 now.
Support Geek Tyrant, man.
Yeah.
You know, Comic-Con. We got Comic-Con in July. Let's get the t-shirts sold. Let's represent.
And then come hang out with us. We're usually at the front of the line.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we roll. You can always donate at geektyrant.com/donate if you feel so inclined. We'd appreciate it. It would help to keep the site keep going. You can always subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. We hope you do. We hope you have. We hope you leave reviews. Email us at geektyrant@gmail.com. Tell us what you think about the podcast or the site. Let us know anything we could do better. We're always just trying to improve everything, so keep that in mind. Fan us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans and follow us on Twitter at geektyrant. And Ben, why don't you plug your awesome podcast?
Well, thank you, sir. The Not Just New Movies podcast, you guys can track it down on the Geek Tyrant homepage, actually, kind of in the news feed of Geek Tyrant. And it's in iTunes. If you guys have ever heard of this, the website filmdrunk.com, which is actually really, really funny, we had Vince Mancini, who's the head writer, on for the most recent episode where we talked about Good Will Hunting. So you can track that down in iTunes, on Geek Tyrant, or at notjustnewmovies.com.
Nice. And then, Tiberius, you want to plug your website?
I always will. NapiersNews.com, Twitter at NapiersNews, and Facebook at Facebook.com, NapiersNews.
Nice.
Thank you.
And other than that, we don't really have much more to talk about unless anybody has anything to talk about.
That'll do it for this week, man, I think.
Well, then, real quick, one other thing. If you guys haven't started watching this new TV show on the Travel Channel, you should watch it. It's called When Vacations Attack. It's pretty freaking awesome.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm being dead serious.
Okay.
When Vacations Attack, watch it.
All right.
I'm out.
See ya.
See you later, everybody.
Bye, guys.